Welcome to Notes from a Drama Watcher, a podcast about East Asian dramas. It's part recap, part review, and there will definitely be spoilers ahead. Hi, welcome to episode 36 of Notes from a Drama Watcher. This is your host, M. Welcome if you're new, and welcome back if you've been here before. In this episode, we're going to talk about just two shows, but two episodes each from each show. The first show is that we're going to talk about is Be My Favorite, episodes 9 and 10. And then we'll talk about Laws of Attraction, episodes 2 and 3. Be My Favorite is the show that stars Gawin and Christ, and it can be seen on YouTube. So let's start off with episode 9. Episode 8, they finally get together. And in episode 9, they go on their first date, and it's to a sushi place. And while they're there, they're offered alcohol, but actually Kawi declines to drink it. And he says, though alcohol can be fun, it also has, he's seen how it has had negative effects on his life. I was really so happy when that happened, because we saw in the future that he had a real problem with it. He had an alcohol addiction, really. He would get the shakes when he didn't have alcohol, and his best friend Max, who was his manager, was so concerned for him about that. So I'm glad that he's seen that and that he's made this decision now before he even started on that path. And it's just one of the ways that we've seen that he has grown and learned a lot in all of his time traveling. While Kawi and Pisang are at the sushi place, Kawi gets a call. Well, they call Pisang because they can't reach Kawi, but they call because it's the members of the band that he's been singing with. There was a last minute cancellation for another band, and so they need a singer. And Kawi is excited about going. Pisang is upset because they're on their first date, and here Kawi is trying to run off already. Even though he's a little miffed, he agrees to accompany him to the bar for his performance. And while they're there, we see this whole issue of alcohol come up again, because it is there's a birthday celebration there for one of the guests, and she wants Kawi to drink with her. And he's already said he can't drink alcohol. He hasn't said that to the crowd, of course. This is just something that he's shared with Pisang, but he doesn't even want to touch the alcohol. She's pretty insistent, and they know, or like one of the other band members tell him, you know, he'll have to keep drinking. If he just picks up one drink, it's a bar. She's probably going to try to get him to drink more in celebration of the birthday. And Pisang, even though he's really miffed about being there, is a great boyfriend and steps up to the plate, offering to drink whatever alcohol this girl offers, knowing that Kawi cannot drink it. And it leads to a pretty funny scene, because Pisang just gets completely drunk. And at the end of the night, they're waiting for a cab to go back home. He's all red cheeks, you know, head sagging. He's just very drunk, and he wants a kiss from Kawi. And of course, Kawi is not going to let him get a kiss, because they're out in public and they're just waiting for their ride home. And Pisang makes a really cute drunk, I must say, to the point that actually you see Kawi is laughing at his antics, but I almost felt like some of that was actually really Christ laughing, because there was a little bit of giggling going on there at how silly Pisang looked, you know, being drunk. But anyway, the ride finally comes, and when Kawi is distracted, Pisang takes the opportunity to give him a kiss on the cheek. So he didn't really get the kiss that he wanted, but sort of. Unfortunately, what they don't realize is that Knot is over there watching from the shadows and has seen all of this go on. And of course, Knot being Knot, decides to call Pear to tell her what he's seen, and that what he thought about them was true, that they were together or not straight or whatever. The thing is, when he calls Pear's already going through a rough time, because in the meanwhile, while Pisang and Kawi were kind of straightening their relationship out, Pear was at a art gallery showing for her mom. And this is where you get to see a little bit of Pear's story. Her mom decided to leave the family, basically, to focus on her art career. I don't remember who says this exactly, but she felt like being in the family was kind of holding her creativity back. And so it's just been Pear and her dad. And so when Pear's at the art gallery, she seems to be, you know, understanding she's there to support her mom, etc. But then at one point, her mom thanks her for allowing her to be so successful. And that just sets Pear off because she doesn't want her mom's thanks. Like, she feels like her mom left the family. How dare she thank her? She kind of says it like that too. And she leaves. And by the time she gets home, her dad has heard from her mom about what happens at the showing and wants her to talk about it. And she's kind of like, what is there to talk about? I mean, you know, unfortunately, there are things that happen in life, right? Relationships fall apart, etc. But a lot of times, you know, adults are making these decisions. The kids don't have a say, right? So expecting the kids to be okay when they haven't had a say in anything is, it's a little unrealistic, let's be honest, you know? So she's kind of like, people are expecting me to be okay. Kind of, why should I? It was unfair to me. And I'm not saying her parents should have stayed together at all. Like I said, things happen. And, you know, who knows what kind of relationship there might have been. Like, if her mom really became resentful of staying in the family, what good would that have done as well? But Pear's just been keeping this, all of this bottled up inside, and it just finally came out. And while she's up crying in her room, who's calling her but Not with this information about Kawi and Pisang. And I think she sort of feels betrayed in a way, because she was starting to allow herself to be open to a possibility with Kawi, and obviously it's not going to happen now because Pisang and Kawi are together. And it's also hurtful that Pisang didn't share with her what was going on, because she views Pisang as someone that she can be open and honest with. So she thinks about it, etc. And towards the end of this episode, of episode 9, she asks Not to meet with her at a bar. And there she asks him not to share the gossip about Kawi and Pisang. Because even though she's hurt, these are still her friends and she doesn't want them to be hurt. And she's telling Not, like, they're also your friends too, which to me is, like, debatable. He's not a friend. I don't know what you would call him, but he's not a friend. Because she wasn't in school that day with everything that was going on with her emotionally. So she doesn't know. He was already in school spreading gossip and joking about things and all of that kind of stuff. So he's not a friend. Also, before he went to see Pear, Kwan confronts him. And it turns out he and Kwan had been having some kind of open secret relationship. Just a relationship between the two of them, but it was open. They could see other people if they wanted. But her thing is, I don't want you to go after Pear. Pear is her good friend. And he's just like, whatever. Because he doesn't really have feelings for Kwan in that way. Like, he's using her. Whereas obviously Kwan's feelings for him were much deeper. And then also, as I said, Pear was her friend. He's just like, whatever, I don't feel for you that way. Goes off and meets Pear. So when he meets Pear to tell her all this stuff about Pisang and Kawi, like I said, she's like, I don't want you spreading rumors. They're our friends. We should be protecting them. Then he gets upset, obviously, that was the reason he called her down. She called him down to the bar because he was expecting something else. He obviously likes Pear. And Pear was like, nope. I know you like me, but I don't like you in that way. And episode 10, we're going to jump right into episode 10 because it kind of continues into the bar scene. He's really mad, which, like, what was he so mad about? I understand being hurt that she doesn't like you, but he was, like, really mad. And it was like, you know, she doesn't have to like you. You know, she has her feelings the same way you do. She doesn't have to like you. He's a very unlikable character. I can't think of one person who I've been reading on Twitter or any reaction I've watched where anyone can say that they like Not. She tells him, I already heard from Kwan what your intentions were, and we're not going there. Kwan is my friend. He gets upset that Kwan told Pear about his feelings. He goes and confronts Kwan in front of everyone. And that's when at least other people can see his true colors, because he gets mad and he shoves Kwan, which of course everyone's like, huh? Because, you know, he's over there shoving this girl in front of everyone. But it was good, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, good that happens in front of everyone so they could see him for what he truly is. I have to say before I forget, this is something I've really been thinking about. Not is a really good villain. Even though I'm saying nobody likes him, that's obviously right on purpose. He's being written that way. And the actor is playing him very well because he really cannot stand his character. And so since that is what they were going for, I think they did a really good job with it. I'll be interested to see, because there's so much going on that possibly changes the future. part of what we see, I'm just jumping back really quick to episode 9. Part of what we see in episode 9 is that she, in asking not to protect their friends, like she really cares about them, doesn't want them to be hurt. At the same time, they also don't want her to be hurt. Kawi, this whole show started, right, with how much he cares about her. He liked her. He thought he liked her. But now he cares about her very deeply as a friend. And she and Pisang already had this friendship, so he doesn't want to hurt her either. And so after she finds things out from Knot, she goes to confront Pisang, and he tells her the truth, that he and Kawi are together. And I think that that already changes the future, because part of what was going on in that alternate timeline where he was the famous singer and he and Pear had just broken up, part of that was the secrets, that the denial of feeling, because she knew that Pisang likes Kawi. And she sensed that Kawi liked Pisang because they were always kind of orbiting each other, didn't leave each other's side. Pisang's really clear, like there was no secret about that. But she probably felt like, I can't compete with this guy. He's always around. And Kawi was in denial in a way, right? But now with this new timeline where they have told her the truth that they are together, there's no hiding, etc. She also, that means that she also is not sitting around waiting for Kawi, waiting for him to propose marriage, waiting for him to start a family, etc. All those things that she said she wanted and he never gave her in that other timeline. Also in that other timeline, remember at the wedding or the reception, Kwon was there, and that's when Kawi had found out that Kwon and Knot had had a relationship at the same time. Pear and Kwon were. So that also is not going to happen. Kwon has confronted him. She has told Pear, this is what is happening, etc. So again, there are no secrets. Everything's in the open. Knot cannot be using people behind their back because everyone knows what everyone else is doing. Again, that part of the future has changed. Now, maybe Knot, by the fact that everyone has seen him, maybe this will cause him to change, cause his personality to change, to be a better person. I don't see what Kwon likes and not, but she sees something. There must be some redeeming quality to him. So maybe he's another person who will change now that everyone's being honest. Now, speaking of honesty, someone who is not quite being honest in episode 10, let's call it a little white lie, is Pisang. Pisang gets into an argument with his mom, and I kind of was thinking this before, and I really see it in this episode, that he's misunderstanding her a little bit. He thinks that she's being reluctant about accepting his relationship with Kawi. And she does show a little reluctance, but I don't think it comes up like it's kind of not for the reasons that he thinks. As far as him being gay, she knew about that since he was a teenager, and in her own way, wants what's best for him. The fact is that there is no gay marriage in Thailand as of now. And so she knows he's never going to be able to get married there until the law changes. And so in previous episodes, that was kind of her thing. Like, don't you want to get married, have a family, etc.? Like, you're not going to be able to do that here. And that was part of her thinking of why she wanted him to move out of the country, was so that he could have those things. But I don't think it was anything against Kawi. It was just, she knows the state of the country. But, you know, people are fighting right now. So she could be part of the fight. She's portrayed as a person of power. She could be part of that fight if she wanted to be. But I think also what scares her is that she is someone who was in a failed relationship. That's how Pisang came to be. So she's scared for her son, right? Doesn't want him to be hurt, maybe like she was hurt. And she knows it's going to be tough for him in the current society. They are young. It's young love, you know? Are they going to be able to stay together? They're going to face some trials and tribulation, you know, but no parent wants their kid to suffer and to go through things. And she knows that it's probably going to happen to him. As much as they love each other, they're in a society that's not fully accepting. And that can be really hard. Obviously, that can be really hard in a relationship. So she's also just scared for her son. And she tells him kind of like a little bit of this, of just being scared relationship wise. Again, nothing to do with Kawi in particular, but just scared for him for being in a relationship. And they kind of cut away. Well, they came back and show that. All you see in the beginning is them arguing, and then Pisang shows up in Kawi's apartment, and that's what it turns out that they did actually resolve the argument, but he made it seem like they had not. That's where the little white lie came in, just because he wanted to stay over in Kawi's room. But Kawi did find out the truth, and he doesn't mind him staying in the room, but Kawi's a little, throughout this episode, you see this thing of where he's a little bit concerned about the next step in their relationship in terms of intimacy, and that's just something he has to deal with in the relationship or in this episode. He no longer has to worry about mom's reaction because he actually called her to like defend his relationship with Pisang, and that's when she was like kind of like, what are you talking about, you know? And that's when he found out they had resolved their fight, and Pisang was really just there on his own because he wanted to stay in Kawi's place. It is a sweet conversation because in that conversation she asks Kawi to take care of Pisang for her. So he got her blessing, or they got her blessing for the relationship. So that was really sweet. So not a ton happened in this episode, even though it was really cute. You got to see them going on a date to an amusement park, etc. But a lot of it was just Kawi worrying about where the relationship was going and what the next step would be. And he's clearly kind of on a slightly different page from Pisang as far as that goes, but Pisang's a patient guy, so he just kind of lets him work through it, even though he's confused and doesn't fully understand what's happening, but he knows Kawi's going through something. Another set of really good episodes. There was some confusion before about whether there were 10 or 12 episodes, but it looks like it's 12 because this episode was not an end. It wasn't a series finale, and they showed a preview to the next episode, which looks like just more cuteness, but in the preview, they show Pisang holding the globe and twisting it and the light coming forth the same way it looks when Kawi time travels. So, I don't know, is Pisang going to be time traveling in the next episode? That would be really interesting to see. So yeah, another really good set of episodes. I'm going to talk about Law of Attraction, but before I talk about Law of Attraction, I just remembered I really wanted to hand it to, I can never remember her name, I'm so sorry. I just want to call her Torfun because of Tale of a Thousand Stars. But the actress playing Pear, I think everyone's like in love with Pear right now. Everyone who's watching this show. She's such a great character. And kudos to the writers and directors or whatever for, you know, in the past, they would have made her into a villain because she didn't get the relationship she wanted. And they have not made her a villain here. And I love it. She's just really sticking up for her friends, but in a realistic way, because she's obviously still hurt. So they're not making her a saint. She's obviously still hurt, but I love that she is not, they're not doing the whole stereotypical female villain thing here. If anything, it's one of the male characters being petty, right? Not as the villain. And like I said, kudos to him before, to the actor playing it really well, written really well as a villain. Because unfortunately, I think we can all think of people in school, in life, whatever, who might have behaved in the way that Nod is behaving, unfortunately. The good thing is people can and do change, right? So we have to hope for that for him. And I'm hoping for a happy future for Pear. I hope she gets the love and the family and everything that she wants in that timeline. That's what she wanted, right? And she probably wants the same now, right? She wants a partner. I'm really hoping for that for her. And I'm hoping Quan finds someone too, because again, I don't really know why she likes Not, but I hope she finds someone who's much nicer than him, or that he really changes if they do get together in the future, whatever. We'll see. Like I said, it looks like Pisang is time traveling, so maybe we'll get to see all of this in the next episode. All right, on to Law of Attraction, episode 2. So Law of Attraction is starring Jam and Film. Film plays our lawyer, Chan. I think I'm probably going to keep calling him Chan. It's written, the subtitles on iQIYI are not the greatest. So C-H-A-N, they had it as Y-A-N sometimes. On 131 in the summary, I think they have it written as C-H-A-R-N. But it's a really soft R. You can slightly hear it when some of the characters say the name, but for the most part, it really just sounds like Chan to my ear. So, you know, it's probably how I'm going to say it without realizing. And then that's Film, who's playing that. And then Jam is playing Tin. If you recall, this is the story of Tin's niece, who was hit by a car in an apparent hit and run. And it was done by the son of a senator named Tan Tai. I'm probably totally mispronouncing that. So episode 2 starts off with Tin waking up from his drunken fight in the previous episode, and he's understandably very confused and freaking out, waking up in an unknown bed in an unknown apartment, and he soon discovers that it's Chan's apartment, and I don't know that that makes him freak out any less, though. He's still freaked out. It's actually funny, like, after he gets dressed, he goes to sit on the sofa, and Chan is waiting to talk to him about why he's there, and he sits, it's hard to describe if you don't see the place, but it's really kind of like two sofas. They're really far apart from each other, and he sits the furthest away he can from Chan. And it made me laugh because actually I did not mention this in my previous podcast, but in episode one, Tin goes to confront Chan in his office, and Chan pulls a gun on him because he just happens to have one little gun in his pocket. But, you know, he forces Tin to sit down because Tin's about to punch him in the face. But Chan comes around the desk kind of behind Tin, and Tin jumps up so fast. Like, he does not trust at all that Chan is behind him. And that's what this reminded me of. He was sitting as far away from Chan as he could in his apartment. And Chan starts teasing him. You know, Tin, again, does not understand what happened. He doesn't know why he woke up there with no clothes on, etc. And Chan is like, well, you were drunk and we, you know, and then of course he tells him, like, no, I didn't do anything to you. That's against the law if I would have done anything to you without your consent, which a lot of people I saw on Twitter, a lot of people loved that they brought that up, because that force kind of force is used in a lot of storylines, Thai BL storylines. And of course, people have issue with it. So him saying that here, people were like applauding, because he's like, yeah, I'd be doing 4 to 20 years if I did something without your consent. And I'm not going to do that. I don't do things without people's consent. So which, of course, Tin is like, like, now you have morals, you know? Of course, he follows up that nobility with more flirting, because he's like, well, now that we're both conscious, do you want to? Which, of course, Tin is like, no. Gets up to leave the apartment. Chan chases after him to say, you know, he wants to be his lawyer. He wants to work on the case with him because he thinks something else is going on in this case, that it's not a matter of simple, air quotes again, hit and run. Tin does not trust Chan at all and doesn't believe him and just goes home. When he arrives home, he finds that his home has been ransacked. And actually, Charn follows him home. So they see this together. Chan, I'm sorry. And he sees it's ransacked. He's, of course, worried about Grandma, but she's not hurt. And then, you know, it's funny because Tin turns around to Chan and is like, did you do this? And Chan, of course, with his wide-eyed, innocent face, is like, no, how could I do this? I was with you all night. Which, of course, everyone's standing around when he says this. So they're all like, huh? You know, guppy faces, because nothing happened between them. But of course, that's not what it sounds like. And Tin is highly embarrassed, of course. He's like, why would you say that? Now, despite Tin's resistance, Chan proceeds to take over the case. He installs security cameras in the home and starts a little investigation of exactly what happened. And he finds out that Tai was in a nightclub getting drunk, saying things about his dad, including something about a doll. So now he's trying to figure out what doll, where is it, what's so special about this doll that Tai is freaking out about. And he goes to the house to ask Grandma to let him look at whatever dolls Tung Kao had. And actually, one of the dolls that's in the bin is, I think they're calling it Ugly Doll. I'm not even sure. They're actually selling it for, I'm not sure if they started selling it yet, but oh no, it's in pre-order right now. They're selling it for the show. But this doll, Grandma starts telling Chan the story that this doll was actually sewn by Tin. It was a time in the family when the family had been scammed out of some money. They didn't even have enough money to eat. And Tung Kao was sad because a lot of her friends had dolls and she didn't have one. And Tin actually learned how to make a doll, how to sew a doll for her. And you see him in this scene, you know, sewing this doll. And it's just so sweet and so sad because he really, really loved her. I mean, I've said it before. He loved her as his niece, yes, but he had her since she was a baby. So that was his child. Really sad. But Chan, when he's hearing the story, gets this his own kind of sad look, and he has a sad smile on his face, and he says, I understand him. I know how it is to lose someone that you love. And that's when you see Well, we've suspected all along, right? Something really happened to him, but you see he lost someone, obviously. And, you know, grandma's looking at him. She sees this. And later on in a conversation with Tin, where he's kind of complaining about Chan, he's telling her, don't trust him. You can't trust people like that, whatever. And, you know, she points out to him, like, she thinks that Chan has been through some terrible things in his life. And sometimes people who have been hurt that badly, they put armor around themselves so that they won't be hurt again. They put armor around the wound so it won't be hurt again. Those are the Ai Chi Yi subs. On 131, I'm trying to remember exactly what the sub said, but they phrase it differently. And whatever phrasing they use, I actually, even though I'm complaining about the Ai Chi Yi subs, I actually liked the Ai Chi Yi explanation better because I really, really do visualize Chan placing this armor around his heart, you know, so that he doesn't let anyone in. I can really, really picture Chan doing that. But it does give Tin something to think about. He does get a thoughtful look on his face, realizing there's probably a little more depth to Chan than he's giving him credit for. I didn't mention before, since I just mentioned 131. So yes, you can see this on iQIYI, but 131, you can see it on iQIYI if you're in the US, and I'm not sure where else. It was like a couple of places where it's only showing on iQIYI. In other countries, it's on 131. O-N-E. Number three, number one. If you have a VPN you can use, just set it to another country. I actually set mine to Australia, I think it was, and that's how I was able to see the 131 subs. Most other countries, it's on 131, actually. So anyway, now that Grandma has given Tin this thing to think about Chan's wound, later on, towards the very end of the episode, he and Tin and Chan are talking. Tin actually asks him, what happened to you in the past? Chan is smiling, you know, as he says this, but you can see it's a fake smile, like a lot of his smiles, right? They're fake. And I was just thinking to myself, he's about to run away, isn't he? And that's pretty much exactly what happens. He had stayed around after a little dinner that everyone had together, saying he was going to help Tin clean up. But when Tin starts getting that close to him, he grabs his coat and goes to leave. And he's like, yeah, nothing happened. Nothing worth remembering. And Tin is like, you remember. You can't say you don't remember because you talk about it a lot, things that happened in the past. You just don't want to remember. And Chan at this point has completely lost his smile. And you can tell is like scared because Tin is getting close and he just wants to get away. And Tin just wants to understand him. Chan does manage to get away. And then he goes home. He's sitting there drinking wine. And we see the flashback. We don't see everything just yet, but we see that it's something, the thing that hurt him is something that happened with his mother. You see him graduating from law school, his mother so proud of him. He gets his first case, and you should see when he gets his first case. I already knew film was a good actor, as I said, because I've seen him in other things. But it's amazing whatever slight difference he's doing with his smile is amazing. That smirk and sly smile and everything that he's been showing in episode one and throughout episode two is like gone in these flashback scenes at the end. When he receives his first case, he has this smile of excitement that's such an innocent, naive, bushy-eyed, you know, everything you can think of, this young lawyer starting out, this beautiful smile. And he looks like a completely different person to the Chan that we've come to know so far in this show. And I actually wondered, are we ever going to see that smile again? Is Tin going to be able to help Chan find that smile again? Or is it too late? Has he changed too much? I think we'll get a genuine smile from him, honestly, at some point. But will he have that smile? That smile of excitement about new things, about life, etc. Will we get that smile? I'm curious. Episode 3 has a slightly different tone in some ways. There were like a few more kind of comedic moments in this episode, but it does start out kind of sad. We see another flashback of Chan in his younger days, where he was just starting out as a lawyer and he helps a village and they're throwing a party in his honor. And his mom is there and she's telling him how proud she is of him. And then again, the scene of We get slightly more in this flashback. We get the flashback again of him with the blindfold on, the gunshot rings out, but we see him not quite holding hands, but touching fingers with someone and blood running, probably when his mom was killed. We also see in this episode, in the beginning of the episode, more scenes of Chan in the nightclub where he's speaking with the owner and he's basically complaining about Tin. about how he can't understand Tin. Tin's vision of the world is kind of too good, too naive. And, you know, she's pointing out to him, everyone's vision of the world is different. And then it's kind of like, she's curious about Tin. Like, who is it that's able to shake up Chan, the unshakable lawyer? Who is this guy? We also in this episode see more of Ploy, who was Tung Kao's best friend. And she goes to visit grandma because actually her family is moving. And grandma says, is there something of Tung Kao's that you want? And Ploy decides to take a little doll, a plushie that looks like a dog. And they do like a real close up on this dog. So, you know, some things, you know, is this the doll that they were looking for? We don't know. But Chan is still trying to find out about the doll. So the method he comes up with is to bring an ice cream truck over to Tin's Taekwondo school so that he can use ice cream to bribe the children to see if he can get any more information about the doll. Tin doesn't know he's coming. Tin like steps away to go to the bathroom or something. He comes back, all the kids are gone. And he's like, well, you know, where are the kids? And they're like, oh, there's a man giving out ice cream, which of course Tin is, you know, stranger danger, runs out. And sees that it's just Chan. But he's saying, I thought some creep, you know, was luring kids out. And it was funny to me as I was watching, because I was thinking to myself, I've been watching way too many Thai dramas over the years. I don't speak Thai, but somewhere along the way, I learned that Lung is a name for an older uncle. So the kids are saying that there is a Lung out there. And I'm like, they just called Chan old. I was like, what? So, of course, when Chan hears that the kids are calling him Lung, he gets very upset. A kid comes out for ice cream and he doesn't want to give the kid ice cream because he called him Lung, which, of course, Tin is cracking up about. Although, I happened to be looking at Twitter earlier and someone in their tweet pointed out something that I had not even noticed. Like I said, Chan like kind of sat back because he's like, I'm not giving these kids ice cream that are calling me Lung. But a kid comes up for ice cream and asks for it. So Tin goes to get the ice cream. And Chan is like, oh, wrong one. He wants the middle one. Like, even though he's upset, he wanted to make sure that kid got his correct ice cream. So he's a little softy on the inside. He's just trying not to show it. There's a little banter at the Taekwondo Center. Tin is kind of teasing Chan. And Chan is like, huh, you know, I'm older than you. Show some respect. But as soon as Tin turns his back, Chan's got his little soft smile. So it's clear Tin's reaching him. I don't think Tin even realizes, but he is reaching him. The only thing I would say, it's only an 8-episode show, unfortunately. I really wish it was like 10, because sometimes I think things do go a little fast. They ended episode 2 very tense, and that tension did not carry over to episode 3. When they meet up, they're fine. They've been teasing each other, et cetera, et cetera. Chan is thinking, right? He does have a lot to think about because, like I said, he was in the club complaining to the owner about how Tin is and this and that. And she's like, you care for him. Of course, he's like, no. But, you know, Tin is changing him. He is reaching him. But even though I say Tin is reaching him, he's still shady and he's still doing shady things. So he actually sets fire to their house. It's a small fire. And he thinks he has it controlled, but he actually sets fire to the house pretty much to gain sympathy for Tin and his grandma so that he can blame it on the senator and the son that they were the ones who set the fire. But it's all is set up by him. And Tin finally does realize that, or not finally. He kind of suspects from the beginning because there's Chan with his assistant and, you know, they've already got the camera ready. Why are you filming what's going on? Like, it's clearly a setup. And Tin gets very upset because he's like, you could have hurt me and grandma if things had gotten out of control. And Chan kind of doesn't understand what he's upset about. Chan feels like he can control everything. And probably as far as he was concerned, he never would have let grandma and Tin get hurt. He was actually doing this to protect them. He thinks protect them from being hurt. Because earlier in the episode, and trigger warning here. Sorry, I didn't mention it earlier. Trigger warning for animal cruelty. There's a dog in the neighborhood that grandma got fond of. And someone who probably works for the senator, someone kills the dog. And they leave it outside of their home. And obviously it's as a warning to grandma and Tin. So that's why Chan is like, no, we're going to bring attention here to show like what kind of person the senator is so that they don't go after Tin and grandma. But again, Tin gets very upset by that Chan did something so dangerous and kind of underhanded. And Chan doesn't really understand it. He thinks what he was doing was a kindness. He thinks what he was doing was protection. And it was for him, like, in his way, but that's not the world that Tin lives in, you know? So they still have this kind of miscommunication and disconnect with each other. One other thing we find in this episode, the senator's son. So last episode, I don't think I mentioned this in the podcast, but they had a moments in the last episode where they were trying to portray the senator's son, I guess, in a sort of a little bit more sympathetic light. He's obviously been abused, physically abused by the senator. In the last episode, I was like, no, it's not working. Sorry, you know, you can put your sad music on in the background and whatever, but it's not working. I have to admit, in this episode, it worked a little better. The senator almost kills him. He almost drowns this kid. And part of the reason I feel like I'm having a smidgen of sympathy is that I'm actually questioning if he was the one who even hit the girl. I kind of feel like it was the senator who might have done it. So because I have that question mark, I can't completely write this kid off as an evil character, because I do have that question mark in my mind if he was even the one who committed the crime. So those are my kind of like a working theory of what's going on, is that maybe it was the senator. This doll they're looking for, if it's the dog plushie that Ploy took, I think they did mention that that dog talks, which makes me think that the dog probably also records. So there may be some kind of conversation that's been recorded by that doll, which is why they're after the doll. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was some conversation implicating the senator in something, because he's clearly mentally disturbed. He really, and I'm not exaggerating, almost kills his son by drowning. And he chokes him at one point. The kid has, I'm calling him a kid, but he's early 20s, I'm guessing, maybe 20, 21. He's got the marks on his neck from when the senator chokes him. And you see in his eyes, he's got like these, you know, disturbed eyes. He's disturbed, very disturbed. So who knows what crimes he's involved in. Now, Tenthai's got his issues too, because the henchman that he sends over to get the doll and who fails, he's beating this guy to a pulp, you know, so he's got his violent streak too. But whether or not he committed the actual crime of killing Tin's, his niece / daughter, I don't know that he committed that crime. This was another great episode. Great writing. The mystery is interesting. The characters are interesting. Film and Jam are just, the chemistry is ridiculous between them. I like Grandma. She's feisty. She's strong. Tin is like trying to protect her from things. And she's like, yeah, don't try to protect me. I can handle things. And I believe her. Like I said, she's strong and feisty. They're just like two really interesting characters. Tin wears his heart on his sleeve. He's noble. He's caring. And this is what makes him so intriguing but frustrating to Chan, because Chan has been dealing with slime balls, you know, for years probably in his profession. And as much as he's intrigued by Tin, Tin is starting to be intrigued by him. He wants to know what makes Chan tick. He wants to know what happened in his past. And he asks him again in this episode, in episode 3. And again, Chan walks away, hiding himself and hiding what's going on, you know. And Tin is like, I just want to know how I can help you. You can talk to me. And I think Chan just doesn't know what to do with this. I think it's going to be emotional, just so interesting, when Chan finally opens up to Tin. It's going to take a lot of courage on his part. I don't know that he has it in him right now. He's not fully trusting of Tin just yet. But he'll have to be soon, right? Because it's only 8 episodes. And we just finished episode 3. This really needed to be like a 10-episode show at the very least. But I think I'm just being greedy because I want more. Because I'm just really enjoying it. It's so rare to get a BL with a mystery to it, a true mystery. Like I said, I think Manner of Death was the last one. Because Not Me was very interesting. It was a storyline, etc., but it wasn't a murder mystery necessarily, not like Manner of Death was. So I'm so happy to see a show like this, but it's been too many years between this and Manner of Death. Like, is it going to take this many years to get another murder mystery BL? Like, I hope not. I hope we do get more of these meaty storylines. And I love the relationships here. Of course, Chan and Tin's relationship is just so interesting, because I want to see who's going to win, quote unquote. Is Tin gonna get slightly evil Or is he just going to turn Chan to the good side? Is he going to bring him back to what he was? Are we going to get that bright-eyed, smiling, excited Chan that we saw in the flashbacks? But also the relationship between Tin and his grandma and the grandma is really interesting. They're so protective and caring of one another. And the show's also doing a good job of showing us, when they show the flashbacks of Tin and how much he cared for Tung Kao and how much his life revolved around her. And he's a little lost in that sense now. I saw someone saying that they felt that he wasn't showing kind of the proper amounts of grief here of someone who's lost their niece. But again, it's an 8-episode show, right? There's only so much they can show us. I think they're showing what they can show. Every episode thus far has had, I believe episode 3 had some kind of flashback where you got to see the love he had for his niece. His whole reason for being right now is trying to get justice for what happened to his niece. And this literally just occurred to me as I was talking right now. Tin is someone who needs to be needed. That's how he is in his family. He's a provider. As a teacher, you know, he's providing instruction for these kids, being a good role model, etc. And he was the provider and nurturer for his niece. And she's no longer there. I think Chan needs him, right? Chan is a lost soul who needs nurture and care. And Tin is the perfect person for that. But he's also someone who I think doesn't take any ish sometimes, which is also what Chan needs too. So they're a good fit for each other. They just have to figure out how to get there. But Tin is definitely the person who can cause the chink in Chan's armor. And that's part of what has Chan so scared and so shaken, is that on some deep level, he recognizes that. Right now, they're not fully understanding each other, but hopefully that changes soon, right? We're about to get into episode 4. We're getting midway through. Again, this show is too short. I wish it was 10 episodes or even 12, but I won't be too greedy. I wish I had 10. We're getting midway. They're still not on the same page yet. Tin is about to go ballistic or something, it seems like, in the preview, because at the end of this episode, episode 3, they have a little bit of a blowout when Tin was upset that Chan had set fire to his house. And Chan is like, "You're being too naive. I did this to help you. This is my method. Your method's not working. Your method makes you look weak and powerless with your method." And we see in the preview for episode 4 that Tin actually goes after Tentai's car and like confronts him. So by Chan calling him powerless, it made him go a little ballistic and go after Tentai. And you also see Chan kind of freaking out, like, "Are you crazy?" going after him. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Too many more days left till Saturday to see the next episode. I'm actually kind of sad that we're getting midway through already. In some ways, it's slow. It's like torture waiting for the next week. But in other ways, the show is going too fast. I've said before, if you liked Manner of Death, you'll like this. But what I didn't say before also is, if you liked Word of Honor and you liked Wen Cushing, a character, Chan reminds me so much of Wen Cushing. Two people, you know, Chan didn't have a rough childhood, but he had a rough time. And it makes them harden their hearts and be in the world of sleaze and down with the muck and being very hurt people, but going through life with a smile on their face, right? With a smile covering their hurt until they meet that one person who sees through it. And then they have no defense against that person. So my next episode will probably be episodes 11 and 12 of Be My Favorite, and then episodes 4 and 5 of Laws of Attraction. Thanks so much for listening in. I hope you have a great rest of your week or couple of weeks if I don't do a podcast before then. And stay safe, everyone.